And welcome back to us live at CITR 101.9 FM in beautiful, sunny Vancouver. And hopefully, unlike last week, I believe it was, it is hopefully still sunny outside, as I cannot actually see outside. I have about 8 computers in here that could tell me if it's still sunny, but I will just assume that it is. And it is Good Friday. And I hope everyone is having a good... pardon me. I hope everyone is having a good Friday. And in order to kick that off, we have already started our weekend early this week. And for those of us who are involved in education, etc., etc., Monday will also be a holiday. And for some of us, it will just be from last night. So hopefully you are already where you want to be and are curled up and are about to listen to some amazing people that we had on our show. We are going to be listening to interviews from several more cast members from the Brave New Playwrights Project. Now, this is going on next week. When I first started off, April sounded like next month, and April, yeah, is next month, but next month is Monday, so this is going to be happening starting on Wednesday, next Wednesday. So if you want to check out the Brave New Playwrights, you can go online, reserve tickets. You can call them, however, with a long weekend in the way, you'll have to wait till Tuesday, which is the day before they'll open, before I think anyone will be there to take your call. So hopefully you will be able to get your tickets, etc., etc., if you want to go there. It sounds like it is going to be a lot of fun. So sit back, relax, and we're going to have, for the top of the hour, several interviews with some wonderful cast members who have come from all walks of life to be involved in this project. And then in the bottom half of the hour, we are going to continue on with Adam Frank's radio drama about mad scientists. And I'm looking forward to that myself. So sit back, relax, and right after this message, we're going to begin.
On April 4th, CITR and the UBC Film Society present an end-of-the-year party from 6:30 to 11. Featuring Noble Oak, 41st and Home, Hooves, Squirrel, Young Brazed, and DJ B. Come by the courtyard located on the top floor of the UBC sub for some sunshine, cheap beer, and good tunes.
You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Scald's Hall with our next guest, Caro Sandoval. Hello.
Hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm swell, thank you. Just came from running around and another great rehearsal.
That's for the Brave New Playwrights Festival?
Correct.
Well, why don't we get started at the beginning, Caro? How did you become an actor?
I think my first brush with, I guess, the taste of it was, I can remember when I was about 2, and I was terribly shy. But I think I was selected to sing at our school Christmas fair or something like that. And there's pictures of me with a guitar, and I'm crying because I'm just terrified of being up there. But I play, you know, I sang what little I could. I think they gave me a kid's song to do, and I pulled it off. That's my meager beginnings. And I think at age 5, there's another really interesting incident where my mom and I took my brother and myself to this kid show in Chile, which is where I'm from. I was there for a few years, and just until 5 or so. But around that time, we went to watch this kid show, just hanging out in the audience. And I guess the host kind of selected some kids, and he plucked me out of there among the group of kids. And I guess there was some kind of an acting contest, which it sounds so, you know, like such a, it's not a such a great thing, but it was playing statues. And I think I won something. Yeah, I did quite a few things with an independent theater company. Now in sort of transition, some good people there at Spectral Theater, plug, and they're now transitioning to a new home, hopefully soon. And I've also done a musical with wonderfully talented burlesque people and writers at Screaming Chicken Theatrical Society. And that's the last I did, really. I did something with Spectral, and now I went with these guys, Brave New Playwrights.
And how did you get involved with Brave New Playwrights?
Good old Facebook. I was poking around on Facebook and I just saw an ad for an audition or some such. And I went, well, I'm not doing anything. Sure, let's give it a whirl. And just popped over here and got cast.
You are a playwright yourself, are you not?
I'm definitely, amateur of amateur status. I'm working on it. I'm working on a couple of plays right now. I did have, did produce my first play, which was kind of a cabaret, a comedic cabaret, years ago, and I also had a hand in some choreography and directing and performing in it. So that was a pretty cool deal. And then there was a few years gap before I kind of came back to acting. And I had one piece produced by Spectral Theatre, kind of a punk operetta. And that was a pretty big deal for me, my dark play. And then I did a couple of little ones that they also put up there. So they've been really good to me, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the two plays for Brave New Playwrights that you're in right now?
Absolutely not. I'd have to kill you. I've been sworn to not speak of it ever. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the one we just came off of, I'm still vibing off of, it's just a hilarious comedy. I think it's more hilarious in rehearsal for us. We can barely keep a straight face. It's definitely a farce. It's got a lot of crazy humor, a different kind of sensibility. It's out there. It's got existentialism. It's got homoerotic overtones. It's got running around, some old ladies, some issues to do with the meaning of life. It's got everything.
And can you give us the title of that one?
The Last Laugh. And it's the last play, and it will be a laugh.
And the second play that you're involved in is a little bit more serious in tone. Can you tell us about that one?
Absolutely, very different. It's laid out in a very interesting way. There are four actresses playing the same woman at different stages of her life, different very critical points in Rosa Becker's life. It's definitely not a comedy, but it is based on a true story of Rosa Becker and Lothar Pechtus. They were a common law couple for several years, I believe 19 years. And we're working toward his dream of, you know, kind of having a bee farm and making honey and profiting at that and so on. The play greatly hints at, in fact, pretty much states she really gave him her all and, in fact, supported him for several years so he could fulfill this dream. And without giving too many spoilers, it doesn't end well for her. And basically, he rips her off is the most direct way I can put it, of just her earnings, her worth. After all, her energy and her time and her support all those years, and also just working for this man, you know, within the context of a common law relationship / marriage. But at that time, there wasn't any laws to protect just a common law person. If she wasn't legally a wife, she didn't have, she was entitled to half his income. So he could actually technically get away with just throwing nickels at her. And that's what happened. She pretty much was left with a pittance. And she fought for several years trying to get her money back. And it just got very complicated and sad for her. She actually did get some monies, but at the time she was paying off the lawyers and so on. So it just didn't end well. But yeah, I believe, I mean, this can be Googled and people can look it up. It's not a happy life for this poor woman. So yeah, we definitely want to almost like make a political commentary in a way of what she wanted, which is to leave a sort of a legacy so that someone else following her in her similar footsteps, another Kamala spouse, would actually get something through the law, would be entitled to half their whatever their worth is. And that's what she left. She left very a very strong mark toward that. So, you know, we have her to thank. She's one of the key figures in that. That's an interesting little historical tidbit. It's a very compelling piece, very dramatic. It tells the truth, you know. It's not pretty. It's pretty complicated.
You can find out a little bit more about the play, including the playwright, the actors, the director, and so forth, on the Brave New Playwrights website. What has your impression been overall of the Brave New Playwrights tone or in energy level from other productions that you've done?
Well, I've been really impressed with the level of professionalism and knowledge and talent. So these guys really know what they're doing. And it's great to see people that are still in college. Actually, I'm a recent graduate myself, having gone to UBC and graduated with a BA myself 3 years ago or so. So very impressed with the level of work we're producing, and very creative people. It's I mean, I've only got the point of reference from the two plays I'm in, of course, until I see the rest of the show, but I can just imagine it's going to be very good quality.
Beyond Brave New Playwrights, do you have any other upcoming projects that you would like to mention?
I wish I did. That would be such a good platform. No, sadly, I don't have anything on the horizon yet. Hint, hint. If anybody's looking for somebody like myself, they can pluck me in their show or
Speaking of getting in touch with you, is there a way that people can find out a little bit more about you and the work that you do?
Yeah, well, first of all, with respect to the Brave New Playwrights, there's just a little blurb there we'll have to do. There's a blurb on myself and the other actors and the director and so forth on the website. And if you're really so keen to get to know me as a human being, I'll always live on Facebook, come up and chat after the show, and we'll take it from there. Hopefully we'll see a lot of faces there and a lot of laughter and push the right buttons we want. In general, I think you want to just provoke something and leave the audience with as though they've been taken on a really great trip in some emotional way, some psychological way, perhaps give them food for thought. It's great when a show stays with you and you still want to have a conversation about it 2 or 3 days later. That's, I think, the crux of it. We want to just give people something to really chew on.
Do you have any parting advice for young people or people who are young to the theater world, at least, who are just starting out?
I guess one thing is if you can do amateur theater, if you can do theater anywhere, please do. It's a great workout for the whole thing. I mean, TV is great, and it's you know, you take everything in little bite sizes, but I think when you do a whole production, it's kind of a really great workout, and it's a way to understand your character and kind of follow through from beginning to end, and you know, get a really good taste of what theater looks like. If you can do that and you can do comedy, then my friend, you can do anything. But yeah, just get involved in your community, volunteer, come watch a few plays. Gosh, if you're looking to do acting in TV and film, definitely there's a lot of student films going on. There's auditions all the time at VIFF, so that's a really good place to start as well. But know your craft, you know. There's a lot of people that are, you know, there's a lot of pretty faces, and a lot of people out there. It's almost like it can be oversaturated, but if you know your craft, then you'll have that confidence and you'll be able to really deliver on it, not just be cute, but you'll have something else to deliver and something else to offer.
Okay, and so we were here with Carol Sandoval here at CITR 101.9 FM, and we both encourage you to go out there and see the Brave New Playwrights Festival as it runs from April 3rd to April 7th.
Welcome. I prefer red over white, but, you know, chocolates. I'm not too fussy. I'm just saying.
And there you have it. So, yes, chocolates and roses.
For everybody.
For everyone.
Woo! I'll share.
Yes, and thank you very much. And coming up next, we will have another interview here at CITR 101.9 FM with other guests from the Brave New Playwrights Festival. Stay tuned. You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM.
Could your project use a little more funding? On Saturday, April 6th at Cineworks, it's Grant Writing Demystified, Guidance for Independent Media Artists. Join instructors Peg Campbell and Walter Kwan from the BC Arts Council as they delve into the domain of public funding for film and video projects and grant writing for arts councils. For more information, go to cineworks.ca/events.
You are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and this is Skald's Hall with David Secunda. Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
Really well. Looking forward to rehearsal.
Well, that's great. And you are involved in the Brave New Playwrights production this year, aren't you?
That's right. There are 12 plays. Each one is put on 3 nights, and the whole festival runs for 6 nights. So we basically alternate.
Which play are you involved in this year?
I'm in one called The Dig Crew. They're basically 3 construction workers, different ages. I play the older one, and then there's one who's around 20 and one about halfway between us. And it's really about our relationships. And my character hasn't had a very good life, and I'm living with a lot of problems from my past. I'm trying to work them out, and I really want a buddy. So I'm trying to become buddies with the young guy who's about 20.
You've done theater for a while now?
Yes. I started doing physical theater in the 70s. Actually, I started as a visual artist, and I was making masks, and then I morphed myself into a theater artist. So I created 100 or so masks and created this physical theater show with stilts, acrobatics, and we toured it fairly widely. We even did it in Hong Kong and in the States, but mostly in Canada.
And what propelled you to...
Originally, like I said, I was a visual artist, and I thought, at gallery openings, I thought, oh, it would be nice to do some sort of performance. So, because I made masks, I had the costumes, and I performed solo then. But I got some of my friends to help me with the fire aspects. We performed it outside in a courtyard. It was very ritualized, and it reminded me, or I was inspired a little bit, by Joseph Campbell, who studied shamanistic religions in many, many cultures. So that was what got me started. And then I enjoyed that aspect so much, the performance aspect, that eventually I made a number of masks, ended up hiring other performance artists, especially dancers, and arranged tours. That's how I met my wife. She was one of the dancers in my mask theater show.
So you've been doing theater for quite a while.
Yes. Well, I took a 23-year impasse and became a drama teacher. But I did a few fringe plays at that time. And a little over a year ago, I saw an ad in the Georgia Strait about brave new playwrights. So I auditioned. And so I've done, it's a different kind of theater I do now. I did one Shakespeare, and you know, so I'm not doing physical theater now.
Do you have any memorable highlights?
Oh, yes. One that got me started, it was one of the original ones, one of the original performances, was at the International Sculpture Symposium in Toronto, and it was so interesting and inspiring. It was at Harbourfront in Toronto. We did an outside performance, so I arranged to get a 26-foot war canoe, and there were seven performers, and we had the masks I made on, and we paddled in from Lake Ontario to the performance space. But the day before, we had rehearsed, and the life jackets didn't look good, you know, with the masks, so we just had them in the bottom of the canoe. So we were paddling with these giant masks, and they cover your whole body. The water patrol police stopped us. They inquired about the life jackets, but we explained why we didn't have them on.
And have you encountered any unexpected difficulties in doing performances?
One time when we were performing in Hong Kong, I used stilts in the show, and we had this piece called the Bird Ballet, and I was a 14-foot flamingo on stilts, and the bottom of the stilts I had made into point shoes. And the previous, it was a festival, so I guess the previous show had used candles and wax, and there was candle wax on the, so I slipped, and in slow motion with these long, long legs, maybe 8-foot long legs, I went into the splits on the stage because of the candle wax.
How did you first get involved in Brave New Playwright?
Last year, seeing the ad in the Georgia Strait, so they ask you to prepare two monologues, and I did. I brought one from Village of Idiots and one from a Sam Shepard play, and then I got selected from a play that I thought was really well written by Hamilton Hollins, who since I ran into him one time in a yoga class, but it was inspired by the events at the Polytechnique in Montreal when those women were massacred. So I played a professor who had gone mad, I interpreted, because he didn't really do anything to stop the massacre once it had started. So it was set in a mental institution. So that's what I played last year. I thought the play was really well written. And this year I play a construction worker. I'm really impressed with the writing of this play as well. The rhythms of the language and the choice of words.
What was the directorial process like in this particular play?
In the play I'm in now, yeah. The Dig Crew? I really like the director. He's really nice guy. My daughter is with him in one or two classes. And before I met him, she said, oh, you'll like him. He's really easygoing. And he's really encourages the creativity of the actors, which makes the rehearsals so much fun. So we try things, and it's almost like within the play, there's another play going on about the relationships between the characters. So it gives it a lot of depth.
Do you have any other upcoming projects beyond Brave New Playwrights you would like to tell us about?
Well, I'm rehearsing Witness for the Prosecution by Agatha Christie, and I think there's 9 people in the cast. 5 of the other people are friends of mine, which I asked to audition, and so we're having a really good time working together on this. So it's a totally opposite role from my role in Brave New Playwrights, The Dig Crew. And Witness for the Prosecution, I play a British barrister.
And where is that play taking place?
That's going to be at the Havana in late May, the last week of May. The Havana is on Commercial Drive. It's really nice little theater at the back of the Havana restaurant.
You said you taught drama for 23 years. Where did you do that?
Well, I taught in Coquitlam. I started at Terry Fox Secondary, and then I taught for most of my teaching career at Centennial. I also taught at Riverside Secondary.
What was it like going from being a performer to being an educator?
To be honest, I guess my first week working in high school, it seemed like the students were moving in slow motion. But I guess I adapted to it quickly. I directed 23 musicals and many, many other plays, including about 10 Shakespeares in high school. So the people learn to really live for the plays. I mean, it becomes so much of their life. And I still know many, many students years afterwards, some who have become really successful in film or on the stage.
Do you still teach?
No, I retired a couple years ago.
Do you have any advice out there for young people who are thinking of getting into performance?
It takes quite a bit of dedication, as you know, and it's good to really learn your lines early in the process. I also do a little bit of film acting. One of my former students named Ian Samwell, I ran into him on the set of Emily Owens. It's a show that's been shot here, and he was the first AD, and he's done really, really well. Well, I thought he put it the best. He said he worked himself up. He said he got a film degree from SFU. He said he worked himself up from the lowest of the low in the film industry. He said, always be really, really positive and cheerful. And he said that was the quickest way to success.
Your daughter is also involved in plays in the upcoming festival.
In Brave New Playwright. She's in two. She's in one called Drone. I don't want to give anything away. And then she's in one called A Play About Sisters. For what they had this year, they didn't have it last year, but they auditioned people, and then they accepted 8 people who get credit for doing the play. So she's one of those 8. And then they're taking other people like myself from the community or other students who audition. But if you're accepted as one of those 8 people, then you automatically get into 2 plays. So the directors basically negotiate with each other to see who they can cast.
Yes, I see.
I've been really impressed with the quality of the other actors in the play I'm in. There's one person named Cody. He's pushing 40, I would say, maybe late 30s, and he graduated from Studio 58 in the late 90s, and he went out of studio and got a contract, professional contract at the Shaw Festival, and he's done, you know, many professional programs, but he decided to become a teacher. So he came back to finish his BA. I didn't know him, and at the first rehearsal, we're just going through our lines and doing a bit of the blocking, and I'm looking at this guy, I'm thinking, my God, is he ever good? And then after I got to know him, I realized, oh, he's been a professional, so he's just back here getting his degree. And so he was considering becoming a teacher.
Well, do you have any final parting thoughts for us before we go?
Last year, I really enjoyed seeing the other plays. I haven't seen any of them, but during the dress rehearsal, we get to watch each other. And I was really impressed with the writing and the directing and the acting last year. So I think it's going to be excellent this year.
Well, thank you very much for your time and coming down today.
Okay, well, thank you. It was fun.
Yes, and you're listening to us here at Skull's Hole on CITR 101.9 FM, so please stay tuned. You are tuned in.
I will say B, Peru. I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You can buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community.
And special thanks to our major sponsors of the Fund Drive Finale Silent Auction, The Cobalt at thecobalt.ca, Travel Cuts UBC at travelcuts.com, and Chad Woodley at the Sanitary Electric Company at tattoosbychad.com.
To CITR 101.9 FM, and we are here at Scald's Hall with our next guest, Asher Isbroker. Good morning.
How's it going, Brian?
Pretty good. You are a performer, is that right?
I am. I'm an actor, and that is a form of performer. So yes, I am a performer.
How did you get started as an actor?
Well, I'm actually kind of relatively new to acting. I started in high school doing some one or two shows, as most actors start out, and then took a bit of time off that. And then in second year university, I got involved with the UBC Players Club, which is a theater club on campus, and I've done a couple shows with them so far. So that's how I got back into it.
And this year, you're in the upcoming Brave New Playwrights Festival, right?
I am, yeah. I'm an actor in two shows for the Brave New Playwrights.
And how did you get involved in that?
It's a relatively tight-knit group of people on campus in the theater society. You know these people, you sort of get connected to all what's going on with theater. The Brave New Playwrights Festival, I heard about briefly last year, but didn't really know what was going on until after the fact. I made a mental note to try out this year for it. And so I know people who were involved, and they reminded me, and so I auditioned.
What are the two productions that you're in this year?
I'm in two plays. One's called Video by Karina Palmatesta, and I'm in another play called Ipswitches by Christina Bourne. Video is, well, they're all short productions. They're all short one acts, around 15 minutes long. Video is about two people, boy and a girl, dating, who have recently proposed to, or he recently proposed to her. And it's sort of the questioning self-doubt about going into a very serious relationship. That's kind of a brief summary. And Ipswitches is really an interesting, it's sort of abstract, can be interpreted in different ways, and it's more about an ambiance, a feel you get while watching it, than what it's actually about in front of you.
And what is it like to work on these two productions?
They really couldn't be more different in many, many, many ways. The subject matter is completely different. The way the plays are set up is completely different. The way you perform them as well is completely different. So preparing to act in both these different plays next to each other is a bit of a challenge. They're both really fun to play. Video is really conversational. It's really like about dialogue between two characters, which is awesome to play, really fun, and there's lots of different ways to do it. And Ipswitches, since it's so abstract, it's a challenge to find out how exactly to play the characters and what their objectives are, but it provides an interesting challenge because you can interpret it yourself in many ways as an actor. So playing it is a bit of an art.
Have you managed to meet the playwrights of either of the plays?
Yes, yeah, both the playwrights have come to the rehearsal so far to see how the progress is going.
Are you involved in this for course credit, the way some other of the actors in the Brave New Playwrights Festival are?
I'm not an acting student at UBC, I'm just in arts. I'm involved, I enjoy acting, so I auditioned for it. I have heard tell of people saying, oh, you can get 3 credits or you can get credits for acting in Brave New Playwrights if you ask or something like that. But I think I've heard you have to pay for it like it was a class. So I'm not in it for credits. Or I mean, I'm not getting credits from it. But I know, I think I've heard of people who are, so I'm not sure how that works.
Are you involved in any other upcoming projects that you would like to promote and find an audience for?
If I were, I would love to promote them. At the moment, I'm not, but hopefully at some point.
And when that some point comes, are there any means by which people can follow your work? Do you have any social media feeds or contact info we can follow on?
I'm on Twitter, at Asher K, AsherKaye. follow me or don't follow me, I don't know. And that's kind of the main thing. I don't really like Facebook. I used to be on Facebook and I kind of stopped.
We here at Scald's Hall have our own social media feeds on Twitter and Facebook, and we will link to Asher. And speaking of being an experienced actor, do you have any potential advice for young or young-at-heart upcoming performers who are thinking about getting involved in productions like Brave New Playwrights?
Well, I don't think I'm experienced enough to really be giving advice to anybody, but any actors on campus who are having reservations about whether or not they should get involved or not knowing how to get involved, the UBC Players Club is a great way to do it. We do play readings all the time. We have our own shows every term. And that's a great way for anyone with any amount of experience to start acting. And also, I mean, Brave New Playwrights does an open call for auditions, or an open call for actors every single year when they do this play festival. So that's another great way to get involved. Basically, just keep your ear out for any acting opportunities and go and do it.
And just a very quick plug, because I don't think we've mentioned this yet on Skald's Hall, but the Brave New Playwrights casting calls usually happen late in December and early in January. So for students out there, you're looking at the start of the second term. And there's a chance for all sorts of people to get all sorts of roles. And don't let anything dissuade you, because there are roles for people of all genders and ages out there. Well, thank you very much for being on our show this morning, Ashter.
No problem, Brian. My pleasure.
And you were listening to the interviews of the cast and crew of Brave New Playwrights here on Skald's Hall at CITR 101.9 FM.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
And welcome back to us live at CITR 101.9 FM in Skald's Hall. And just a quick note, because it's not possible to time travel, et cetera, et cetera. Carol was mentioning the Vancouver Acting School as the a school in question that she was mentioning. And yes, in the greater Vancouver area, there are a number of means by which aspiring performers can be trained. Of course, UBC has a... We actually have a acting, a drama department. We have a film studies department. And we have an education department that also does work in drama, although that's not so much towards being a paid performer. But we do it. And I know that because I'm involved in that work. So the Vancouver Acting School, another resource out there for people who maybe don't have quite the time to do a four-year university degree. And as you can remember, we've had guests on our show who said that maybe that might not be the way to go if you're trying to get into performance. So we have gotten to the bottom of the hour, and we are going to now sit back, kick back, relax, and listen to episode 2 of... Some Mad Scientists, put together and given to us very generously to play by Adam Frank, who was on our show last week. So sit back, relax, and take a listen, and then we'll be back to wrap things up at the bottom of the hour.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I am hungry!
Shush, my dear. I bring your dinner here. The council asked and paid me to feed and tend you. Oh, be grateful, then, to them and me. When you feel better, I'll make your dress for festival time.
Oh, medicine heals the diseases of the body while wisdom frees the soul from the passions. Do you feed me medicine or wisdom?
Neither, miss. Food and clothing is what you get from me. Mm-hmm. Will that do?
Thank you.
Your appetite is good. You were hungry. Now, rest quietly this evening.
Hungry. Yes. And angry, too. I might have killed her with this knife. As many evils as one could conceive of come about through immoderate fits of anger. But is anger itself an evil? It may bring about bad things when unchecked. Yes. Just now it told me something. Brought me news. My body whispers, I need nourishment. And anger repeats this loudly. Neither my body nor anger is at fault. These are simple truths of their natures. Feed me now. Yes. So... anger can bring about good things, too. Or necessities. If the body brought a suit against the soul... oh, how does it go? If the body brought a suit against the soul,
for all the sufferings and ills it had endured throughout its whole life, and one had only oneself to judge the case. One would gladly condemn the soul for having ruined certain features of the body through carelessness, and made it soft through drink, and brought it to ruin through love of pleasure. Just as if a tool or utensil were in a bad state, one would blame the person who used it carelessly. So, the soul makes the body suffer. The soul is its prison. Some say it's the other way. The body is a nuisance, too many passions, a distraction, a source of evil deeds. But this is a mistake. Anger, say, is an event, something vital, a danger. My soul decides to act or not act, whether to kill or not. Anger insists on my attention and my care. Insists. Yes. Anger, then, is no more of the body than of the soul. It suffuses. It infuses. Comes from without, where the gods live. Then pauses with me for a time. Democritus, you say my body is ruined through drink or pleasure. True, I have been careless, and admit that I am soft. I see no wrong in being soft at times. You once appreciated my body for its softness. What kind of tool or utensil is it, Master? You once said, use servants like parts of the body, one for one thing, one for another. To increase our enjoyment. This, then, must be the proper use of a body. To give us pleasures. Joys. Parts of my body are speaking to me. I hear them say, I served you. I gave you enjoyment. I pleased you. We were well used by you. It's a chorus now. They sing, use us well, enjoy us, for ill use begins when pleasure fades. Yes, yes, I hear them. Enjoyment calls for my attention. But my attention wavers, skips, and jumps. You say, from the very same things as benefit us, we may also get evils. What gives us joy can cause distress. Even a well-used and cared-for body can be hurt or taken ill. So, what does sorrow set in store? My master used to say, he missed me. I saw him bleeding from his throat. Send his love to me. What clarity I felt. What confusion. It's true what you say. The mind undoes at death. Floats to the surface of the skin and dissipates. Oh, my head aches. It tells me to stop, to seek assistance. Who can guide me now?
5 days. The winds have been favorable, Hippocrates. We reach Abdera tomorrow. Poseidon is surely with us.
This fine vessel flies, Damagetes. You have fit it with wings, not oars, as suits the urgency of our business there.
Let us drink this last night to the success of your mission. Bring some wine, servant.
Yes, Malamet, bring the skins. I see that you enjoy our wine. You shall have a cask of it when we return. I promise that.
I've been thinking of this business of yours. You are aware of their reputation, the Abderites, I mean. What they say can't be trusted, Hippocrates. Not that they lie, but they're thoughtless, mindless, foolish, stubborn, wrong-headed, ignorant. At Rhodes, there are many jokes. Let's see. An Abderite tries to hang himself. The rope snaps. He bumps his head, so he goes to the doctor to get a plaster. He feels better, thanks the doctor, then goes home and hangs himself.
The wine, master.
Thank you, Malamet.
Don't spill any, slave.
The swelling sea makes me unsteady.
A few months at sea would teach you to stand. Well, Hippocrates, I raise this cup to the fools of Abdera and to the health of their philosopher.
It's true, my friend Damagetes, that the Abderites may be mistaken. It is remarkable the sympathy they have for him, as if they too have fallen ill. Yet I suspect that Democritus may not be mad.
What then?
The Abderites claim that he has too much wisdom, yet such excess is never harmful. Those who lack something good often consider someone else's abundance to be excessive.
You diagnose the Abderites, Doctor.
Master, may I speak?
Of course.
While it is true that the Abderites may be mistaken, Master, their observations, taken together, do point to a specific disease.
What have they observed?
They say that Democritus is sleepless, that he talks to himself and laughs inappropriately. They say he lives apart from others, mostly in deserted places. I would diagnose such a patient with melancholy, an excess of cool black bile. In addition, Democritus may suffer from an excess of yellow bile, which would explain the strange fits of laughter.
Is it true what he says?
It is. Of course, if Democritus has melancholy, I will try to cure him. But I suspect something else. Some surpassing strength of soul. When people are serious about learning, other thoughts and passions take flight. These thoughts are like slaves who make noise and quarrel with one another, then fall silent when the mistress of the house enters.
You believe Democritus to be wise, then? Capable of exerting self-control?
Yes. He may scorn human affairs because he wants freedom from disturbance. The mind, when it is tired of external stimulation, brings the body to some peaceful spot. There it stands up and looks at the place of truth within, where there is no father, no wife, no children, no mother, no brother, no kin, no slaves, no chance, nothing that can introduce confusion. Perhaps Democritus has been moved to that place by wisdom. And since he has traveled so far away and no longer sees his fellow citizens, he is considered mad, all because he wants to be alone.
Well, Hippocrates, if I lived among such fools as the Abderites, I too would want to be alone.
Tomorrow we'll decide between my diagnosis and Malamet's. And so, we should rest before our work.
Yes, we arrive early tomorrow. Good night, Hippocrates. Sleep well. And have your servant leave the wineskin.
Certainly, Damagetes. Good night, good night. Malamet, lead me down. My old eyes don't see so well anymore.
Huh? Who's there?
I came to Athens and no one knew me.
I am Democritus.
Yeah, the philosopher.
We are legion, numberless. I am but one.
Come in, quickly. The guard will come if you are seen. The council wants you under quarantine. Why do you wander? Have you eaten?
I am no longer hungry.
Sit down then, maiden. I must work. You see these half-made shoes?
I seek assistance with my soul. I have questions. Can you help me?
With your soul? Not likely, if mine is an example of my workmanship.
Thinking new things every day. I have received a taste, a glimpse. Enough to know, not enough.
Received from who?
From my master.
Are you a slave, then?
No more than you. I am free. There is a vase dedicated to Apollo in my name. Your mother was a slave.
Do you know me?
Everyone needs shoes. Few can make them. You are a workman of citywide renown.
I have been working at this trade for more than 50 years.
Why?
Why?
Why this trade?
It was no choice of mine. My father sent me out to learn this skill when I was 10 years old. My clumsiness was beaten from me early on. I learned quickly.
Your father, your master.
He freed me when he freed my mother, to marry her.
They are alive?
No more.
And you are married?
Once, no longer. Why these questions?
I remember now. My stomach speaks. To one who is self-sufficient in respect of food, the night is never short. Friend, I need a trade. Can you teach me?
Teach you what?
Shoemaking.
Ha! Absurd. Women don't make shoes.
I seek some way to maintain myself.
You are young enough, my dear. Why not find a man to marry?
To marry is to have children. And children are neither necessary nor beneficial. My womb makes no demands of me now. Can you teach me your trade?
A strange request, my dear. Very strange.
I see that you are lonely. If you accept me as apprentice, I will offer you companionship in return. The comforts of my body.
You would give me your freedom?
No. But I would exchange my company for your instruction.
Come, my dear. Join me in some wine to think upon this matter more.
Very well.
Let us take our time.
If we can find it.
I have prepared your robe and bed. Is there anything else, Master?
No, you may lay down now. Sleep, sleep. May it come easily to us both. What is it, Melamet? Why are you standing there so still?
I remember.
Yes, yes. Speak, Melamet.
I remember the slave ship that brought me to Greece 19 years ago. Something about Damogetes. The thought of a master such as he.
Damogetes isn't so bad. A ship's captain, what do you expect? Melamet, you're trembling.
That ship, I remember, was my education as a slave. I did not understand at first. I learned what it meant for my body not to be my own. And when we arrived to the market at Kos, I was terrified. What good fortune it was you. Everything might have been different with another master. Such a small thing, mere accident.
What has become of you?
Would you ever sell me, Hippocrates?
Malamet, I would never give you up to anyone. Come sit with me. I too remember the market at Kos. What a beautiful boy you are.
I am no longer so beautiful.
It is the way of things. Youth drains away, taking the beauty proper to it. But think, in its stead, you have gained the wisdom of maturity. You have become most skilled in the arts of medicine. Remarkable. Your reputation amongst other slaves is very high.
You have been an excellent teacher.
And you, an excellent pupil. Remember early on when I named you in your own language. Oh, learned one.
Such a name for a young boy. I was and am grateful.
Ah, you have always been a pleasure to instruct. I fear now there is little left for me to teach you. Malamet, stay in my bed tonight.
Away, fiends. Fiends. Ah! Away, fiends. Malamet. Asclepius, protect me. Malamet. Malamet! Oh,
what is it? Does something ail you?
I have had a dream. A vision.
You are frightened.
I think it was a prophecy. Wait. Medicine and prophecy are closely related, since Apollo is the father of them both. Yes. I remember now. I do believe it to be a prophecy that bodes well. It tells me that beautiful truth lives with Democritus, while bold opinion dwells among the Abderites.
Such a prophecy should make you tranquil, Hippocrates. Yet you are very agitated.
The god Asclepius appeared in my dream. His serpents threatened me, his hand so hot it burned. Yet the vision was so clear.
But I am concerned. Why should this god be angry?
I am impatient to see Democritus and to experience this vision's truth.
As you say, master.
Hippocrates, we approach Abdera!
Hasten, Malamet, let us hasten!
Tune in to CITR Friday afternoons from 2 till 3:30 for Radio Zero, where your host DJ brings you an eclectic mix of new international pop, ranging from the most fashionably disaffected to the brightest sugar-coated music around. along with a good measure of vintage new wave, punk, and disco to kick off your weekend. That's Radio Zero, Friday afternoons at 2 on 101.9 FM, CITR.
And welcome back to us live at CITR 101.9 FM and Skulls Hall. We are 5 minutes away from the top of 2 o'clock, and it is Good Friday here in Vancouver. And there has been some very heavy thumping sounds here in the nearly deserted Student Union building, which is kind of interesting. Yes, campus is having a lot of construction work done, but not on a national holiday. So whatever that thumping noise is, viva la revolution, because it does sound like cannon fire going off. Even though there haven't been ships that used cannons like that in these waters for like 300 years. But you never know. Anyway, moving on. Brave new playwrights. We have had a number of guests over the past couple of weeks. And there is exactly one business day before the premiere evening of the Brave New Playwrights Festival. Now, that doesn't mean you can't get tickets, but it does mean that if you do want tickets, you should really start thinking about being sure that you go online to the Brave New Playwrights website and reserving them, or by giving them a call. And it is going to be a very wonderful show. I'm going to go see it myself on Sunday, because both versions of the show will be playing on Sunday. And so I get to see it all in one go. Which is how I roll. I do it all at once. And coming up next week, we are going to have, from the Vagabond Players production house, the entire cast and most of the crew of Michelle Tremblay's For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. And this is a play that was written by a Canadian francophone author, Michelle Tremblay, or in English, Michael Tremblay, if you will. But it's Michelle Tremblay. It was written about 15 years ago. We are going to be, because I'm part of the Vagabond Players production, I'm not in the play though. We are going to be doing the English language version of it, of course, and it is going to be running from April 11th, which is the premiere night. And then the show proper will start on the 13th, which is a Saturday. So it'll premiere Thursday the 11th, and then it'll run from the 13th until the 20th. So that's Saturday to Saturday, with a Thursday before premiere. And so that's not a lot of time to see this particular production. With the Vagabond Players production, I just want to let you know that the last one sold out every night we ran. We did a full 4-week run of Fawlty Towers, and 15 nights on stage, 15 sold out shows. So if you want to go to this one, please go to the Vagabond Players website and reserve, call. We don't do online ticket reservations yet. We're looking into doing that, but this season we don't have it. So call us. And once again, you're going to have to wait until probably the next business day. So Monday the 1st or Tuesday the 2nd of April will be the next chance you will have to start reserving tickets. However, time marches on. That particular week is the Brave New Playwrights Festival. And then the week after that will contain the premiere and the Saturday opening of Michelle Tremblay's For the Pleasure of Seeing Her Again. And so if you want to see it, be sure not to waste time. This is the moment to seize, because you really only have a moment. These will only exist as a moment of time, and then they will be gone. And the Brave New Playwrights takes 8 months to make, and there's a 4-month hiatus. So, you know, for 6 performances, this took all year. And with the Vagabond Players production, once again, these people have already, when I interviewed them, they had already been practicing for months. Their stage is being built now, and they're getting their tech stuff ready. And so it is going to be a really good run. I'm very happy to see how well it's turning out. So that's what's coming up in the next couple of weeks here on Good Friday. So our next show will be Friday, April the 5th. And that's kind of a special day for the students here at UBC. This is the last day of classes. And then, of course, we're going to be having like 1, 2, 3 weeks or so of final exams after that. But classes will be over, and that usually entails a block party. And we here at CITR 101.9 FM will be covering a portion of that on our show. My show, Skald's Hall, will still air, and that is when we will hear The Brave New Playwrights and episode 3 of 4 of Some Mad Scientists. So we're going to be continuing on with that. And we have a lot of stuff coming up for the month of April. We're going to be having Danielle back, our novelist, and we're going to hopefully be hearing from Dr. Carl Lego, who gave us an entire show worth of interview. And we've been just looking for a place to put it because he's going to need his own show due to the time. Because I need a 40-odd minute slot for his interview, and so it's going to have to wait until I can devote a show to him. But that's what we're going to be doing in April. So, next on the schedule was Radio Zero. However, they do not seem to be here at the moment. Not a problem, however. We here have lots of really cool tunes coming up then, so just sit back, take a listen, and enjoy your